should arise, so that I departed and I remained. I remained in virtue of my sufferings. I remained in their hearts in order to be loved. Afterwards, my holy humanity went up to heaven. I felt more pressed by the bond of the human family, since I would not be adapted to receive the love of my children and brothers that I left upon the earth. I'll stop there for a moment. Everything our Lord tells us, and he says the same thing, you know, mother and sisters in a myriad of different ways. He tells us that there's nothing that did not symbolize the kingdom of my divine will. And we know that for an analogy to what he said in volume 14, September 11, 1922. He says, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, in redemption, and in the sacraments that I instituted. The many graces given to my saints have all been the seeds," he says that here too, "the means, the way in which to reach this possession of my divine will," end quote. It's all here. Mother, we're so blessed. And I don't think we recognize it even to a hair of what it really is. Mother?
Yeah, this is such a great gift. We don't realize the magnificence, you know, and the greatness of this gift. I was just reading in volume 11 here. That was the 21st of December in 1914. Our Lord was saying, I was in my usual state. And blessed Jesus, coming all afflicted, told me, "My daughter, I can't take the world anymore. Relieve me for all. Let me palpitate in your heart, so that in hearing the heartbeats of all, through the heartbeats of your heart, sins may not come into me directly, but indirectly. Through your heart, otherwise my justice will send chastisements never seen before." In the act of saying this, he identified his heart with mine, making me feel his heartbeat. Who can tell all that I could feel in it? Sins like flashes wounded that heart. And as I shared in it, Jesus felt relieved. Then as I felt completely identified with him, it seemed as if I was enclosing his intelligence, his hands, his feet, and all the rest. And I shared in all the offenses of creatures against each one of the senses. But who can tell how this happened? Then Jesus added, "To have company in my pains is the greatest relief for me. This is why my divine Father was not so inexorable after my incarnation, but milder. He no longer received direct offenses, but indirect ones. That is, through my humanity, which was a continuous shield for him. In the same way, I keep searching for souls who may place themselves between me and the creatures. Otherwise, I will make of the world a heap of ruins." So, in the Old Testament, you see all God's justice. Because Jesus hadn't come yet. He's a buffer. He was a buffer for us, protecting the world from the Father, because to protect us from his justice, Jesus was taking it on to himself. And then Our Lady came, who lived totally in divine will. Then Louisa, now us. The divine will is growing everywhere. And I was thinking the other day, why is it growing so fast everywhere? We meet people, you know, we've gone to Medjugorje, we meet people from all over the world, and Germany, Ireland, England, it's just really growing really fast. France now, I've heard, you know, a lot of people there from France. And it's because more and more people are reading it. More and more people are doing acts and rounds in divine will, and those acts and rounds in divine will that they're doing is going around the world and transforming souls, because our Lord told Louisa, every act and round we do affects every soul in the world. If they're open to the grace, they're being transformed little by every act and round that comes their way. So, you know, the world is being transformed through that. The world is being helped and protected from greater chastisements right now through people who are trying to live in his divine will. It's the greatest gift, you know, and it takes on, we take away the sufferings that Jesus has to suffer through living in his divine will. He gets relieved. He was asking Louisa to relieve him of suffering, you know, but he says here, you know, that he said she shared in the offenses of creatures against each one of the senses. Of course, Louisa had to suffer a lot that we don't have to suffer. She suffered the suffering of the souls in purgatory for having the opportunity every day on a daily basis to see Jesus and then not to see him. That's the greatest suffering, to be with him and then to feel he's gone. Of course, he was always with her. He explained that to her. He lived within her, but she wanted the consolation of actually seeing him. And he would hide from her because he wanted to send justice in order to save souls, but he couldn't say no to her when he would come her way. So if you want him to say yes to you all the time, live totally in his divine will. Work on it by reading the volumes, doing the acts and rounds in divine will, and he will not be able to say no to you. Whatever you want, you're praying for your family members, they'll all be saved. You know, if you want, you want to help them out, really get into the divine will. And you know that to really understand what an act and a round does, what it is, how magnificent it is, the power in each act and round that you in the divine will is the power of God, because it's a divine act, a divine round. It's something God is doing, not you. And because of that, it transforms the world. And the more you do it, the more you die, the more you take on his attributes, the more you become more godlike, you become more like him. And you're being transformed little by little by little every time you do it. So I encourage you to just really get into that. But the greater, according to how much you know about the act and round the divine will, the power behind that, what it's really doing, means it's more powerful, it's greater. It's knowledge of it that makes it happen to be a greater happening than a smaller one. It's the knowledge of the divine will is the greatest thing. And our Lord didn't want Louisa to miss one knowledge that he would give her. He would reprimand her if she didn't write everything down. That he said, you don't understand, these are lives. These are divine lives that you're neglecting to put down on paper, because every knowledge performs more and more in divine lives that will go on for all eternity. They're infinite. When you do an act in divine will, because it's an act of God, it's an infinite thing. So it performs these divine lives infinitely, you know, and that's a great thing, is to know that, to believe that makes it more powerful every time you do an act in round the divine will.
And then knowledge, Mother, that knowledge festers and grows our love for our blessed Lord. And of course, the more we love our Lord, the more we want to serve him. Just like the Baltimore Catechism, know God, love God, and serve God. And now through the explication, remember, I like to always remember the Article 66 and 67. I know we sound like a broken record, but as we read these volumes, as we read these miraculous writings, some of them, and we talked about this before, Mother, some sound like almost too good to be true, but we know that's not true. So with that intent to understand this and to take this as God wants to give it, we must understand what the church has given us. Article 66 states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to better understand, more thoroughly understand what has already been given to us. So in that light, we can absorb everything that we're receiving from this church-approved, these church-approved writings, I should say. And Article 67 really defines the role of the mystic. And it states, again, I'm going to paraphrase, it's not the role of the mystic to complete or add to public revelation. However, to help us better understand it in a certain period of time. And that's exactly what Luis is doing. And this time embraces all time, because it, like you just mentioned, it's in the divine will. There is no time. There is no space. It is everything. It is all, Mother.
Yeah. You know, when I first started reading the volumes in 1998, I thought, like you just said, it's too good to be true. Is this really of God? And then the devil would come at me kind of wanting me to give it up, but I'll continue to read. I said, no, I'm going to keep on going. Sometimes I wouldn't understand something. I'd read a line two or three times, and I thought, well, let me go on. And then it would be repeated somewhere else, but in a different way, that knowledge, that certain knowledge. So then I would understand it, you know. And the more I read it, the more I understood. And even though it's simple, it's deep. It's simple, but with so much depth, you know. So, yes, sometimes you might think it's too good to be true. But it is a reality. It is God wanting to relive his life in each one of us. But he wants that invitation. He's a gentleman. He won't come unless you invite him. He wants you to want this gift, which is a tremendous gift, the greatest gift that we could ever get. And that's why the saints, St. Louis de Montfort said, the saints in the latter days of the church would be the greatest saints in the history of the church, because they'll be living totally in God's divine will. What a great gift. You don't want to lose this gift.
No, that's why it's important too, Mother. When we start to believe that this is too good to be true, we have to really be humble. I mean, who are we to determine this is too good to be true? With God, everything is possible. So again, the more I think we ponder that, the more we meditate on that, the more God gives us confidence. And Jesus tells Louisa and tells us that in order to have humility, you must possess confidence. It sounds like it's contrary, but it actually is one and the same. Hello, Sister Gemma. Welcome back.
Hello, Peter. Thank you. Today, I would like to share a passage from volume 30, that's May 30th, 1932. And it say, Blessed daughter of my volition, every act of the creature done in my will is a step that she makes in order to come closer to God, and God, in his turn, takes a step to come closer to her. One can say that the creator and creature are always on a walk, and they never stop going towards one another. And as Mother was saying before, like how important is to do acts in divine will. And this, when I was reading this little passage, I was thinking it's like exactly like a friend. If I want to know a friend, what do we do? We just ask to go out, and then you know the friend more, and then the other friend want to know you too, so he does a step, and you know him better. It's exactly the same with Jesus. You want to know God, and you do the first step, and he probably does 100 steps more than you, and loaded with graces. But it's like it's a work that you do together. You do the first step, and then Jesus will do all the rest. But he wants, as Mother was saying, Jesus is a gentleman. He won't come unless he's invited. So if we invite him, he will do all the rest. We don't have to do anything. We just have to trust him. And
Sister, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think this is such a vital message that you just mentioned there. God waits for us to, he's a gentleman. Mothers remind us this often. He's waiting for us to take the first step, to make the first move, so to speak. And then it's like, you know, I look at a silly analogy, but we're on the starting block of this race. It's a marathon. And we're at the starting block, each and every one of us. God only wants us to, when the gun goes off and he says, start the race, all he's looking for us to do is just get off the block, take that first step, and then he's going to pick us up and he's going to run us to the finish line. But he waits for us, because how else can he understand our intention? How else can he, well, he understands all, but how can we prove to him our desire for this? By making the first move. It really is simple after that. Mother, thank you for reminding us that, as well as with the acts and rounds, of course, to take that first step. Sister Gemma, I don't think you realize how important what you just mentioned, and that's why I had to interrupt you. I apologize.
No. Thank you, actually, for saying that. And later in the passage say, this was the purpose of creation, to form our life in the creature. So Jesus came on earth to put himself in us. So, I mean, this is, it's something so big that I don't think I'm fully understand what I'm reading. And as you were saying before, it's this, it seems too beautiful to be true, but it is true. I mean, if Jesus say so, I'm sure it's true. And also it say, now as the creature does her will, so she withdraws and takes a step back from her creator, and God withdraws, and an infinite distance forms between the one and the other. The distance that the human volition forms without mine is a distance of sanctity, of beauty, of goodness, of power, of love. So we have to be aware of this, so that every time we do our human will, automatically we distance ourselves from God, and also God distance himself from us. And doing this, we just lose all this this beauty that Jesus wants to give to us every time we do an act in the divine will. So we nowadays everyone wants to be beautiful, everyone wants to feel good, everyone wants to have power, but you can have this doing acts in divine will, and automatically God will give you all this. You, if you start doing acts in the divine will, or start desire to live in the divine will, you become more beautiful, you will become more powerful, you will love more, but not because we for our own strength, but because God will give us all this this beauty that it's the divine will, all his will, he will pour it on us.
Amen. Beautiful. Sister. Hello, Sister Francesca. Welcome back to you as well.
Hi, Peter. I was waiting for you to say something. Sorry, Peter.
Like, hello, 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 hello. Hello.
Thank you. As you guys were talking about, you know, how the divine will seems too good to be true. Yeah, I mean, it just made me think, like, God's too good to be true, except he is true. He is real. Like,
that's right.
Like, we just don't fully understand, like, how fantastic God is. And he's just so beautiful as we journey in the divine will. He just keeps showing us over and over and over again just how good and faithful and loving he is. And just when we think we've kind of like, wow, I don't think he could show me any more love than he has already. And then it's like, he's got, you know, more surprises. And recently I was talking to somebody and they were saying the same thing about Our Lady. They said something that struck me very much. She goes, I just don't think we fully grasp the holiness of our Blessed Mother yet. And I was just like, yeah, we don't. Yes. Like, even if we think we do, we definitely don't. And what gift we have when Jesus left us his Blessed Mother. And that's the passage I want to share for today. It was actually from volume 34, May 20th, 1936. Jesus is talking about his ascension. And he talks about how he didn't leave us alone. He couldn't leave us alone. And he left us himself in the Eucharist, and he also left us his mother. So I'm just going to read the passage that when he spoke about Mary, because I just thought it was so beautiful. So Jesus says to Louisa and to us through Louisa. Now my mother was standing with the disciples, witnessing my departure for heaven. She is the most beautiful symbol. As queen of my church, she aids, protects, and defends it. Thus she shall sit among the children of my will and will always be the driving force, the life, the guide, the perfect model. The majesty and the kingdom of the divine will that she cares about so deeply. Such are her longings, her passionate desires, her maternal raptures of love. She wants her children on earth to live in the same kingdom where she lived. Not content with having her children in heaven in the kingdom of the divine will, she wants the same for them on earth, and feels that she has not accomplished the task of mother and queen that God gave her. Her mission shall not be fulfilled until the divine will rules on earth among souls. She wants her children to be like her and to come into their mother's inheritance. For this reason, the great lady's eyes are all bent on watching, and her heart is all bent on loving, to help those who seem somehow disposed to want to live in the divine will. So whenever you are in trouble, you must think that she is near you, sustaining you, giving you strength, and taking your will into her motherly hands, that it may receive the life of the supreme fiat. This is just so beautiful. So many things jumped out to me. But I'll just point out a couple. Sister Gemma was talking about, you know, getting to know Jesus, and we also, he wants us to get to know his mother as well. A couple of years ago, it was like a day retreat with all the nuns in the diocese. It was the day of the consecration it was the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, I think. And the whole diocese was doing a consecration together. And there was a nun talking about it. And there was something that actually struck both me and Gemma that we said later, that the nun said, you know, I don't really have a great devotion to Our Lady, but I do feel a special grace, you know, today. And we both thought, like, how are you a nun and you don't have a devotion to Our Lady? It was just not to judge her, but it just caught me by surprise. But then it also made me think, like, do I have a devotion to Our Lady? You know, what is devotion? It's love. It's affection. It's not just saying Hail Marys. It's not just saying rosaries and certain prayers, but it's really having a relationship with Our Lady. And it made me realize that, you know, I don't really have that deep of a relationship with Our Lady. You know, I love her and, you know, and I wanted to serve her and obey her, but I kind of felt like something very funny that somebody told me recently, a friend of ours. She was saying she also struggles in her trust of Our Lady's love for her. And she says, I want to feel Our Lady like a mother and not a mother-in-law, which I thought was really funny.
Well, that doesn't work with my mother-in-law. No, she's very sweet. So.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Peter. No offense to any mother-in-law out there. But it was really funny. But I think sometimes in our lack of trust, in our woundedness, right, we think of Our Lady, we forget how much Our Lady loves us. So pray for that gift, for Our Lady to show herself to you as mother, because she wants to do that so badly. She wants us to trust in her maternal love. She wants us to get to know her as mother. And that's how we're going to start to imitate her. She's our perfect model. She wants us to be like her. She wants us to be happy in the kingdom of her son, the way she was, not just in heaven, but on earth. That's how much she loves us. And what little child, when she feels totally loved by her mother, doesn't want to imitate her mother in every way possible. And just the last thing, I know we probably have to go to break pretty soon, but the thing that I thought was great, this line, the great lady's eyes are all bent on watching and her heart is all bent on loving to help those who seem somehow disposed to want to live in the divine will. Now, first of all, pay attention to when you hear words like that, Our Lady's eyes are watching. What are her eyes looking like? Because if we're not reading this with the right lens and we're reading it with the mother-in-law lens, you know, we're going to feel like Our Lady's watching. I got to do everything perfect. But that's not how Our Lady's watching. Our Lady's watching us with loving eyes, ready to help us, ready to pick us up if we fall, ready to teach us and show us. We have to make sure we constantly have that lens in mind when we're thinking of our blessed mother. And just the other thing was to help those who seem somehow disposed to want to live the divine will. I love it. It doesn't even take much. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm not enough to live the divine will. You just have to be disposed a little bit. Just be every little, Sister Maureen used to say, not a penny is wasted in the divine economy. So don't feel like you have to do great things. It's your desire. It's just desire to want to live in the divine will, to want to be a child in your mother's arms. And Our Lady's going to take care of the rest.
Amen. Just like we were talking about, Sister Gemma said it also. We take that first step, God does the rest. In this case, Our Lady just looking, in essence, for lack of a better word, looking for an excuse to help us, looking for that slight disposition, that slight desire. You know, you mentioned model also, Sister Francesca. I'm going to go into the break with a quote from Article 507 of the Catholic Catechism. And that states, quote, at once virgin and mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the church, end quote. We finally arrived. God is finally taking us back. We're going back to the other side, finally. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. And welcome back, everyone, to this, the School of Mary. House cleaning now, if we may. You're listening to Radio Maria, Christian voice in our homes. Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. In fact, if you're listening today, you've noticed a clarity issue that has gotten better. It's the new equipment that was made possible by your generosity. We have to ask also that you continue your generosity if possible. And by doing that, you just simply have to go to radiomaria.us, click on the donate page, or call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. I know we have the Spring Mariathon coming up next week, May 23rd to the 25th. But let's get a beat on the rush of that week. If you can donate today, we're going to give everyone as a gift a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. And most importantly, the contact information on the back of the card and who to contact once you experience, not if you experience, but when you experience your miracle. In addition to that relic card, we will also send you a I Am Catholic card that I'm showing on screen now, but we're on radio, so you can't see it. It says, I am Catholic. In case of emergency, please call a priest. It gives our website information. And then on the back, it has the act of contrition. So again, we hope that we don't need this, but everyone should have this in their pocketbook or wallet. Again, all of this will be given as a gift. Just call Radio Maria. Help out. God knows what we can do. He knows what we can't do. If you can't help financially, please pray for the success and the fortitude of Radio Maria. 888-408-0201. You know, Mother, We were talking about a lot of things the last the first half of this program, and I think Sister Gemma talked about, Sister Francesca touched on it. It's to take that first step. You know, God is waiting. He's watching. I think in one of the volumes, he says, snooping around corners, basically, you know, eavesdropping, listening, waiting to just pick up on that little glimpse of a desire, of a disposition, so that God and His Blessed Mother can thrust everything upon us that God wants us to do. And again, what do we do? What does that desire do to God? Well, He tells us that in volume 23, November 27th, 1927. He says to Louisa, and He says to us as well, He says, quote, "My daughter, Louisa, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will, reigning in the midst of creatures," end quote. So again, that first step, God is waiting for that first step to move Him, so that He may give us what He wants to give us. We have to show that we had that glimpse of disposition. God is a gratuitous God, but He's a very frugal God too. He wants to make sure that His gift will be well preserved, will be well used, will be welcomed. All it takes is the first step. God does the rest. Mother?
Yeah, grace builds upon grace. You know, we take that first step, then He gives us the grace for the next step and the next step and the next step. Can you hear?
Is Michael?
Yeah, it's on. Something happened when you were...
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
I can hear perfectly.
Okay. Yeah, I was just reading the volume 25 here. Our Lord was letting Louisa know how excited he is when he hears the excesses of love narrated to him. He says, "A sea of my love swells, it boils and forms huge waves. It roars so much that it would want to deafen everyone, that they might hear nothing but my moans of love, my cries of sorrow, my repeated sobs saying, 'Don't make me cry anymore. Let us exchange the kiss of peace. Let us love each other and we will all be happy, the creator and the creature.'" So God is so much love. That's all He is. God is love. And He just wants us to love Him back. He gives us love, everything. He gives us everything, everything we want. We just have to want it. He did all these acts for us. He just wants to grab them, take them as our own. Our Lady, Louisa's, all the acts and rounds they did. He says, "Jesus," and then Jesus kept silent. And at that moment, Louisa says she saw heaven open and a ray of light descended from above. "And fixing itself upon me," she said, "illuminated those who were around me. And my always lovable Jesus resumed his speaking, 'Daughter of my will, this solar ray that fixed itself upon you is my divine will that brings you the life of heaven into your soul. How beautiful is this ray, this solar ray, that not only illuminates you and brings you its life, but whoever draws near you and remains around feels the light of life. Because the sun, it expands around and gives those who surround you the warm kiss of light, of its breath, of its life." So as you live in His divine will, as you call upon Him in everything you do, as you read these beautiful knowledges that He's given you in the divine will, this ray of light descends from heaven upon you. And everyone around you is touched by that ray of light. Everyone around you feels that ray of light. I was just reading the other day about when a person is living in divine will, everyone around him falls, they feel drawn to that person. They love that person. They're loving God in that person. So it's people that are with God can feel His presence within those who are living in His divine will. And she says, "And I feel like happy within you in seeing that my divine will diffuses and begins to beat its way. This gift is for everybody. And our Lord is happy when He sees other people being touched by those who are living in His will, those who are reading the volumes, those who are learning more about who and what God is, to love Him more. As you learn who He is, your love cannot do anything else but fall more and more and more in love with Him. So, you know, the more you know about Him, the more you love Him, and the more you realize how much He loves you. He says, you cannot comprehend the joy I experience, the happiness I feel, and the interest I take in illuminating and offering my very word, my very heart, to one who occupies himself with making my divine will known. My interest is so great, he says, that I envelop him within myself, and I myself overflowing outside of him, I take the floor, and I myself speak about my will operating in my love. Do you think that it is your confessor that speaks? In these evenings in which he is speaking in public about the nine excesses of my love, it is I who take his heart in my hands and make him speak. So as you speak of his divine will, God will be speaking in you. He wants you to reach out to others. He wants you to share it. He wants you to spread it. In one of the volumes I read, how he would be upset with priests that kept the volumes on their desk and not got, he wanted it out to the people, he said. It wasn't going anywhere. He wants the people to read these volumes. He wants you to share it. He wants you to help you to teach others about it. You don't have to say much. Just give them the basics. And they're going to just give them a little bit. And they're going to want more and more and more.
That's right. Amen. You know, Mother, also, you mentioned about it's for everyone. It really is for everyone. We have to recognize that. And in fact, Jesus is point blank. He tells us, again, we've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Now, Blessed Jesus came and told me, quote, my daughter, Louisa, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be accessible and easy in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place, end quote. So we don't have to go looking for it. God has brought it right to us. We have to take that first step, as we've talked about, and let God do the rest. It really, like you said, Mother, it's actually so easy, it's difficult, if that makes any sense. Or we perceive it to be difficult.
It's so simple, we think it can't be that simple, so we make it complicated.
That's very true. Hello, sister.
Hello. So it's so important to do like acts and rounds every day. And the more knowledge we have about these acts and rounds, the more powerful they become. So the passage I'd like to read today is from February 20th, 1924, volume 16, and Jesus explains to Louisa what it means to live in the divine will. So this is like a basic definition of what it means to live in the divine will. So Jesus tells Louisa, you do not know what it means to live in my will. It means to make the pure joys of the purpose of creation, my innocent amusements of the reason why I created man, return to me. It means to remove from me all the bitterness that the perfidious human will gave me almost at the dawn of creation. So I'm going to pause here and say that when I read this part, it reminded me of how important it is to make reparations with all our acts. Like, we don't only call Jesus into our acts, but we also do these acts and rounds like to help benefit others, to make reparation. Like, for example, you can say like, Jesus, I do this chore out of love for you, to make reparation for all those past, present, and future who have not, who are not, or who will never do like these specific chores out of love for you. So in that way, we can like soothe the bitterness of Jesus. So we can be like Veronica wiping the face of Jesus when Jesus was on his way to Calvary. So continuing on with this passage, it means a continuous exchange between human will and divine will, as the soul, fearing her own, lives of mine, while mine keeps filling the soul with joys, love, and infinite goods. Oh, how happy I feel in being able to give whatever I want to the soul, because my will contains such capacity as to be able to receive everything. So there are no longer divisions between me and her, but stable union in operating, in thinking, in loving, because my will makes up for everything, so we remain in perfect accord and in communion of goods. This had been the purpose of the creation of man, to have him live as our own child, and to place all our goods in common with him, so that he might be fully happy and we might be amused with his happiness. So God created us, as we know in the Baltimore Catechism, for us to love, know, and serve God. And God wants us all to be happy. And the more that we not only do, but the more we live in the divine will, the more this union between God and the soul becomes ever closer, and the more happy we'll become. Because God wants to see all his beloved children happy. So basically, our hearts should be so transformed into Jesus's that that we can't tell anymore which heart is mine or which heart is Jesus's. I don't remember exactly which passage it was in the volumes, but Jesus took Luisa's heart and he like transformed it so much to make it look exactly like his heart. And Luisa could no longer tell which was her heart and which was Jesus's. So living in the divine will, it's not like we're completely getting rid of our human will. Our human will is a great gift God gave to us for us to completely submit it to the divine will. And also connecting to what Mother said earlier, the more we live in the divine will, when we ask God for something, then God will give it to us, because it'll be really Jesus asking us, asking through us, and God can't refuse anything to himself. So thank you.
That's so true. You know, you mentioned also, Sister, what I was thinking while you were reflecting on in volume 23, Jesus talks about how the divine will places the axe, you know, the axe and rounds it, Mother continuously reminds us of for great, great reason. But it says the divine will places the axe in exercise. If you think about it, in exercise, it's a repetition of certain actions. So the axe, once we're doing that in the divine will, these acts are living on for perpetuity. They never cease to exist. We've helped God stimulate a life that never dies. It's like a good that keeps giving. You know, it's like autopilot, you know, working while you're sleeping, working while you're resting. It works all the time. It never fatigues. It never gets tired. So that's why it's so important, because again, the help of all Christians, of all souls, past, present, and future, are predicated and really being determined based on if and when we do these acts and these rounds. How much can we help? How much are we going to assist? How much are we going to move God? I think Sister Elizabeth's going to tell us that. Hello, Sister.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, and the great thing is that it's effortless. You know, we think like we need to try hard to achieve it and all, but it's like really... yes, God just wants our fiat. I mean, this just is not always simple. Actually, sometimes it's really hard. But so, yeah, I have here the about the Ascension, which feast day is today. So from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will book, day 29, the Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. The hour of the triumph, apparitions of Jesus, the fugitives cling to the Virgin as the ark of salvation and forgiveness. Jesus departs for heaven. So Our Lady was saying to Lisa, now, dear child, my beloved son Jesus spent 40 days risen on the earth. Very often he appeared to his apostles and disciples to confirm them in the faith and certainty of his resurrection. And when he was not with the apostles, he was with his mama in the cenacle, surrounded by the souls who had come out of limbo. But at the end of the 40 days, Jesus instructed the apostles, and leaving his mama as their guide and teacher, he promised us the descent of the Holy Spirit. Then, blessing us all, he departed, taking flight for the vault of the heavens, together with a great crowd of people who had left limbo. All those who were there, and they were a great number, saw him ascend. But as he got up high, a cloud of light removed him from their sight. Now, my child, your mama, followed him into heaven and was present at the great feast of the Ascension. More so, since the celestial fatherland was not foreign to me. And then the feast of my son ascended into heaven would not have been complete without me. So as I was reading this, I just imagined that picture, you know, how Once we say yes, this first step, like to die to our own will and to resurrect together with Jesus, and then he starts kind of appearing like to us in a way, like he was appearing to the apostles in these 40 days, like really assisting us little by little, you know, to die to our own will and to get more and more familiar with what he wants to do in us, how he wants to move in us. And then also it is said there all these souls from limbo that surrounded the apostles and Our Lady in the cenacle, kind of like we that really decide to say fiat all the time and live in the divine will, like we have souls around us, not only our loved ones, the souls that are connected with us, but I mean all souls, past, present and future, that kind of await our acts that are represented here as those souls who had come out of limbo and are waiting, you know, for the to ascend together with the Lord. And also I can imagine the apostles were very joyful, but also sad. Jesus is leaving them. I mean, he was with them all the time. And, you know, I guess their feelings were mixed. You know, they knew he had to leave because he said, if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, won't come to you. But I guess, you know, they knew that mentally. But also if they didn't have Our Lady with them as like really tangible, you know, help, it would be like really hard. I don't know if they would make it, you know. So they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, and they saw Jesus as his ascension. But I think it was really Our Lady, like Sister Francesca was saying, and the sisters that really encouraged them, that and she is also saying here, the passage goes, Our Lady saying, now my child, your mama followed him into heaven and was present at the grace feast of the ascension, more so since the celestial fatherland was not foreign to me, and then the feast of my son ascended into heaven would not have been complete without me. Now a little word to you, dearest child. All that you have heard and admired has been nothing other than the power of the divine will operating in me and in my son. This is why I so much love to enclose in you the life of the divine will. It is an operative life because everyone has it, but the majority of them keep it suffocated and to their service. And while it could operate prodigies of sanctity, of grace, and works worthy of its power, it is forced by the creatures to remain with folded arms without being able to display its power. Therefore, be attentive and let the heaven of the divine will extend within you and with its power work whatever it wants and however it wants. So, yes, like in this scene of the ascension, like the apostles should have wanted Jesus to go, kind of to go away from them, to ascend to heaven, because that's the way it should be, so that the Holy Spirit can descend. And it's actually also the picture of this era of sanctification, how the Holy Spirit will descend upon all of us and purify us with fire. So actually, when you are in this position of, you know, like having to renounce something, having to, you know, even separate from the loved ones, like in the hours of the Passion, the first hour, the separation of Jesus from his Holy Mother, it is really sad, but they knew they were doing their reparation for all the unholy attachments to friends and a family, and it had to be that way. They both said fiat to the will of God, even in that. And then also just quickly from the pious pilgrimage of the soul, the 24 hour, it also says about the ascension, just the ending passage. It says, please leave open always the gates of the heavenly home, so I may constantly come and kneel at your feet, climb into your arms, and repeat to you incessantly my song of love. Send us the kingdom of your holy will, and may your divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, one of the great tests you're talking about, well, how the apostles may have felt. Think about John 7:34. When they heard, you will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. Can you imagine what they thought after that? What are you leaving me? We can't find you. You're going to hide. I mean, they kind of, all kinds of thoughts going through their minds. But again, God is he's speaking in riddles, but he's also giving our intellect, our memory, and our will an opportunity to expand, just like those obstacles in our lives do. In each and every one of us. Mother, we've got about a minute and a half. Any closing final thoughts?
Yeah, well, he said, my order of my love is so great that I want everything I have done for love of creatures to be recognized, but this for nothing else than to give. I feel restless for giving. He just wants to give. He wants us to want what he wants to give. He says, these souls who live in his divine will form the new hierarchy of the celestial fatherland, where there is a place reserved for them that to no one else it is it given to occupy. So what a great place God will have in heaven for those who live in his divine will here on earth. So embrace this gift. It's just such a beautiful gift, almost unbelievable gift. And it's for everybody. God wants it for you. He created you out of millions who could have been. That's how much he loved you. And he wants you to have this precious gift. So embrace it, read it, believe it, accept it. It's a gift of, you have to have faith. You have to have faith to believe what he says, asking for that gift of faith to really believe that all these knowledges are coming from God to you, for your soul to grow in harmony with his, to become one will with his will. Amen.
Amen. We pray we can take, Mother, that first step, so God can do the rest.
Yes, right.
And also, we hope everyone can also take that first step by calling Radio Maria at 888-408-0201 for that I Am Catholic card and the relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, and helping this apostolate, this radio ministry, this worldwide ministry to blossom, to thrive, and to serve you. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters, and welcome back.
Ciao. Thank you. Thank you.